The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and let's jump right in with this one from Good Housekeeping. For our new SEAL star, Feeds Children in Need. No Kid Hungry, which works to ensure that every child in the U.S. has access to healthy food, is the latest charitable organization to earn the Good Housekeeping Humanitarian Seal. And since we stand behind it, you can feel confident supporting it. It's a sobering statistic. 1 in 7 children in the United States doesn't have access to enough food to thrive in his or her daily life. Enter No Kid Hungry, a campaign launched by the nonprofit Share Our Strength that's aimed at ending child hunger in America by making sure kids get 3 healthy meals a day. The problem isn't a lack of food in the country. It's the fact that some kids lack access to food. In many cases, children get smaller portions than they need, or their parents aren't able to afford nutritious foods. The charity partners with local organizations like schools, community centers, and corporations to provide school breakfasts, after-school meals, and summer meals to kids who would otherwise go without food. If a school needs certain resources to get food to kids, No Kid Hungry can assist with that as well. Sometimes all a school needs is a cart to carry meals down its hallways. We see the difference we're making, says Serena Williams, chief people officer at No Kid Hungry. The organization has raised more than $700 million and connected kids with more than 1 billion meals since its 2010 launch. How you can join the fight? Even a little donation goes a long way. A dollar can bring up to 10 meals. You can even support No Kid Hungry while shopping online. When you place orders on smile.amazon.com and choose No Kid Hungry as your charity, a small percentage of your purchases goes online. Your purchase price goes to it. Win-win. And then under this, we have a little aside, how charities earn the Good Housekeeping Humanitarian Seal. Our experts at the Good Housekeeping Institute rigorously evaluate charities to confirm that they're delivering on their missions and that they manage your donations responsibly. Here's what we review. There are 3 things. 1, transparency. We look at financial health, accountability, upholding of legal rights, and governance. 2, integrity. Our evaluations include detailed reference checks and assessments of the integrity of a charity's organizational structure and administrative elements. And alignment. The charity's purpose and mission align with the vision and mission of Good Housekeeping. And again, this particular charity is called No Kid Hungry. From Better Homes and Gardens, Trade Secrets. We've watched Property Brothers stars Drew and Jonathan Scott transform clients' homes for years. Now they want to help transform yours with their new quarterly magazine, Reveal, accessible from your own coffee table. With 23 years of renovating and flipping homes under their tool belts, Drew and Jonathan Scott are sharing even more of their know-how through their newest project, a lifestyle magazine. Look for the first issue of Reveal on newsstands January 10th. We want to find the simple steps to help everyone live their best life, Jonathan says. And it turns out it's really not that complicated. This magazine is all about taking people just beyond their comfort zone to show them how easy it is to do something amazing. Whether that's finding new ways to spend time together as a family, taking the next step in your career, or making your home work harder. One of their top priorities is helping readers make the most of what they already have. Here they share their 4 key steps to help your home reach its full potential, whether you're selling or staying. First, cut the clutter. This one task makes living in your home more pleasant and is absolutely crucial when you're selling. Do regular purges and donate or trash things you no longer use, Drew says. Then look for areas of wasted space, like under the stairs or in the garage, where you can add storage. If you're selling, consider moving some of your stuff to a storage unit. You'll automatically make people feel like the house has better flow and better storage. Next, make the layout inviting. One thing we see is a lot of people pushing all the furniture against the walls of a room, Drew says. You want comfortable arrangements that are close enough for conversation. If you're stumped, the brothers recommend starting with a sectional. The right angles position people face to face. Next, brighten up. Brighter homes look bigger, so make sure you have great lighting, Jonathan says. Every renovation we do, we always put in recessed lights so there's great ambient lighting. In addition to that, having a lighter paint palette and reflective surfaces like stainless steel and mirrors help bounce light around. And last, update the kitchen. Big structural changes or a modified layout isn't always necessary. New appliances and cabinets, if needed, will smooth your everyday duties and increase your home value if you sell. When updating appliances, look for opportunities to free up counter space, like with an under-the-counter microwave, Jonathan says. And next from Good Housekeeping, how a quote of the day could make this your best year yet. It turns out all those Instagram posters have the power to help us identify personally meaningful goals that, unlike typical resolutions, will be invested in keeping. Read on. Sharing catchy phrases, spoken by everyone from Albert Einstein to This Is Us patriarch Jack Pearson, has become a go-to form of communication. There are over 5 billion Google search results for quotes, 87 million posts with the hashtag quotes on Instagram, and dozens of groups dedicated to quotes on Facebook and Twitter. Our obsession with quotes may seem to be driven by the rise of social media, where being short and pithy makes it easier to grab attention and likes. But it's almost as old as time, says Matthew McGlone, Associate Director of the Center for Health Communication at the University of Texas at Austin. You hear people talk about proverbs being handed down from generation to generation as wisdom. Sayings have long served as a way to communicate wisdom in teaching and conversation, he says. But we don't just use quotes as a quick way to pass on values and life lessons. We also use them to connect and commiserate with one another. I think that's the brilliance of a quote. It's brevity, says Today host Hoda Kotb, director of I Really Needed This Today, Words to Live By, a book inspired by the incredible feedback she received from her Instagram fans when she posted a quote, "It's so short, but all of a sudden it hits you in a space and way that you didn't know it could. There's nothing worse than feeling isolated and like no one understands you. Often you can feel an emotion but can't put it into words. Then all of a sudden you read 8 words strung together and you say, that's it. That's exactly what I'm feeling." Right now there's a big focus on inspirational quotes, ones chosen to motivate us to do or feel something positive. And while this can be very powerful, experts say that sometimes it's the quotes that relate to sadness, pain, and struggles that stick with us the most. Kotb's most liked quote on social media is one from author Jamie Anderson about grief. Positivity can be off-putting if you're down and just and someone is writing about how lovely life is, says Todd Thrash, a professor specializing in inspiration at William & Mary. What makes a quote good is not just positivity, but who the person reading it is, what they're doing with their life, and how they're understanding the world. When you find yourself particularly moved by a quote, inspirational, sorrowful, or otherwise, therapist and coach Jacqueline Socrasto says it's important to get curious about exactly the words what are making you feel. Did I say that right? About what exactly the words are making you feel, because they can be pointing to a good opportunity for change. She recommends asking yourself, why does this quote resonate so much with me? What value does this quote honor or support? How can I apply this in my life in a small, actionable way? Sparking reflection and awareness is very important, but a quote in and of itself is not going to change anything without its being connected to some action, she says. If you rarely come across sayings that feel likely to inspire that level of introspection, we highly recommend Googling Jack Pearson quotes. Seriously, that character is a quote goldmine. And you can find more quotes to kick off your 2020 at goodhousekeeping.com/new-years-quotes. From Woman's Day. Yes, you can pay for college. College costs more than ever, but Anthony O'Neill, author of Debt-Free Degree, believes you can finish higher education without racking up IOUs. Parents see the cost and think student loans are the only way, he says, but it really is possible to pay cash for college. You read that right. Regardless of your child's age, here are some easy ways to start tackling college costs today. First, of course, save up. The day your child is born, or any time after that, start saving money for college. In a 529 account, you can put away up to $15,000 a year, and there are no income restrictions for contributors and no age limits for the use of that money. Next, go online. Modern States Education Alliance, and their website, modernstates.org, offers a freshman year for free program through a series of web-only courses, videos, and practice exams to use to prepare for official ones. Next, find work. Have your student look for work-study programs and other part-time work on campus to cut down on college expenses. Many universities have work-study funds that go unused, so your child can ask for more hours and may get them if the money's available. Next, consider community college. Think of this as a smart way to do college rather than a last resort. By spending a year or two at a low-cost college in his or her hometown, a student can save on housing costs and tuition and later transfer to a four-year school. Next, look for money. Kiwanis, Lions clubs, banks, utility companies, churches, area sports clubs, and even employers may offer grants and scholarships. Every little bit helps. Check out anthonyoneill.com for an updated list of recommendations. And last, keep applying. Continue hunting for scholarships after college begins. The number of students per class on campus generally drops a little each year, so the chances of winning money get better and better. Plus, many schools will look at your student's first-year GPA in college and value it over how he or she did in high school. And for a free preview of a chapter of Debt-Free Degree, go to anthonyoneill.com. That's anthonyoneill.com. From Good Housekeeping, Outsmart Aging, four ways you can work to put time on your side. First, spend 20 minutes outside. Stress can impact all aspects of life, including cellular health. New research suggests that spending time in nature each day can lower stress hormones by over 20% per hour. Whether you stroll in the park or sit in your backyard, you'll get the benefits of a daily nature pill. Next, turn down the temp at night. Over one-third of us aren't getting enough shut-eye, and the effects go beyond feeling tired. A study found that just one night of sleep deprivation could negatively impact biological aging. Aim to snooze for 7 to 8 hours a night by keeping your bedroom in the mid to high 60s. Cooler temps can help you doze off and sleep soundly. Next, pencil in a brisk walk. Moving for 30 minutes daily may help you shave nearly a decade off your biological age. One study found that highly active adults had a 9-year aging advantage over people who were sedentary and a 7-year one over those who were moderately active. And last, eat fish twice a week. A Mediterranean diet rich in omega-3s has been linked to lower aging rates. Not a fan of seafood? Focus on limiting sodium, saturated fat, and added sugar, and go heavy on 100% whole grains as well as fruits and veggies. You can also get plant-based omega-3s from walnuts, chia seeds, and flax seeds. From Better Homes and Gardens, a taste of the tropics. The lush foliage of these tropical houseplants will chase away the winter blues. And there are three of them. I will go based on what I'm seeing size-wise. The tallest first, it's called a lady palm. Turn to this plant to fill a brightly lit spot in your home. Its mass of glossy leaves, fan-shaped leaves, takes a corner from empty to lush. And the Next biggest would be the split-leaf philodendron. You'll fall in love with the heart-shaped leaves on this easy care shrub, which thrives in direct sun in winter and bright light in summer. And last, the very tall black coral snake plant. Wavy greenish-gray stripes cut across these slender upright leaves. The plants handle drought and low light, but perform best in bright indirect light. And I can't grow much of anything, but I have not managed to kill a snake plant. I think I've had it about 4 years, and it's still thriving in spite of me. So if you have a purple thumb like I do, that might be your first choice there. And next, from Good Housekeeping, we've got a couple little things which may or may not be related to each other here. Problem: my produce spoils before I can eat it. Solution: use this cheat sheet to avoid food waste. Unripe avocados, bananas, melons, peaches, pears, and tomatoes should live on the counter. When they ripen, put all but bananas in the fridge. Cruciferous veggies, such as broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, go in the fridge. But fruit, put fruit in a separate drawer, because the ethylene gas can give off as they ripen can cause vegetables to spoil. Leafy greens do best rinsed, wrapped in a towel, and refrigerated in a bag. Potatoes and onions need to live separately in a cool, dry spot. Both release moisture, which causes them to spoil faster. Carrots and celery can be cut and stored in water in the fridge. And berries are highly perishable, so don't let them linger. Store them in the fridge and rinse before eating. Problem: a smoothie is my go-to breakfast, but it doesn't hold me till lunch. Solution: toss in some protein. It takes longer to digest than fruit, giving you energy until your next meal. The ideal amount of protein at breakfast is about 30 grams, according to a recent review published in Advances in Nutrition. But 15 to 20 grams is a good goal for hunger management. To make a smoothie that can function as a meal, add nut butter, Greek yogurt, or walnuts, which pair well with smoothie staple bananas and also have other benefits. The antioxidant-rich nuts have omega-3 fats, which other nuts don't have. In a study in diabetes, obesity, and metabolism, people who drank a daily smoothie with walnuts reported less hunger than those who drank one with similar macronutrients but no walnuts. Good Housekeeping nutritionist-approved pick: the plant-based omega-3s in California walnuts are linked to better cognition, and the nuts have lots of fiber, too. Moving now to some recipes for you from Real Simple. Artichoke dip that's better for you. Fast, healthy, and full of flavor. Active and total time are both 15 minutes. Makes 4 cups. Here's what you need: a 32-ounce container of plain, full-fat Greek yogurt. That's the big container. A 12-ounce jar marinated artichoke hearts, drained and chopped. 2 tablespoons finely chopped fresh flat-leaf parsley leaves, plus more for serving. 1 tablespoon olive oil, 1 teaspoon lemon zest, plus 1 teaspoon fresh juice from a lemon, 1 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/4 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper, and then pita, crackers, or vegetables for serving. Mix yogurt, artichoke hearts, parsley, oil, lemon zest, and juice, salt, and pepper in a large bowl until well combined. Transfer to a serving bowl and top with parsley. Serve dip with pita, crackers, or vegetables. Well, that's so easy I can't even mess it up. Next, from Good Housekeeping, chickpea pasta salad in a jar. Active and total time, 10 minutes. We need 1/4 very small red onion, finely chopped, 2 tablespoons red wine vinegar, 1.5 tablespoons olive oil, kosher salt and pepper, 1/2 cup canned chickpeas, rinsed, 1 cup grape tomatoes, halved, 2 tablespoons Kalamata olives, halved, 1 cup cooked rotini pasta, those are the little screws, 1.5 cups baby arugula, and 2 tablespoons crumpled feta cheese. In a 1-quart jar, shake onion, vinegar, oil, and pinch each of salt and pepper. Add chickpeas and gently shake to coat. Top with tomatoes, olives, pasta, arugula, and feta. When ready to serve, turn upside down and let sit 2 minutes so the dressing can run over the rest of the ingredients. Can be prepared ahead and refrigerated for up to 2 days. Let stand at room temperature at least 10 minutes before turning over to spread the dressing. From Good Housekeeping, your winter crop, kumquats. These cute fruits are like inside-out oranges. The rind is the sweetest part. Try them as, and they give us 3 quickie recipes, a tangy cocktail. In a shaker, muddle 2 kumquats, which have been halved and seeded, with 1 teaspoon maple syrup and 1/2 teaspoon grated ginger. Add ice and 1.5 ounces bourbon and shake to chill. Serve over ice. As a savory sauce, heat 2 teaspoons olive oil on medium-high. Brown 1/2 cup of kumquats, which have been thinly sliced, 2 minutes. Add 3 tablespoons white wine, 1 tablespoon water, and 1 tablespoon rosemary, which has been chopped. Simmer 1 minute. Turn off the heat. Swirl in 1.5 tablespoons cold butter in chunks. Serve with chicken, lamb, or pork. And last, as an ice cream topper, combine 1/2 cup honey and 1/3 cup of water. Bring to a gentle boil. Add 1.5 cups sliced kumquats. Simmer 10 minutes. Stir in a teaspoon of vanilla. Cool and serve over ice cream. From Real Simple, an easy dinner, honey-drizzled soppressata pizza. Active time is 15 minutes. Total time 25, and it serves 4. We need 3 ounces mozzarella cheese shredded, or about 3/4 cup. 3 ounce fontina cheese shredded, or about 3/4 cup. 2 tablespoons olive oil divided. 1 pound store-bought pizza dough at room temperature. 1/4 cup tomato sauce. 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. 2 ounces thinly sliced soppressata, which is an Italian dry salami, torn into large pieces. 1 cup baby arugula, 1 teaspoon honey, crushed red pepper for serving. Preheat oven to 450 with the rack in the lowest position. Mix mozzarella and fontina in a bowl set aside. Coat a baking sheet with 1 tablespoon oil. Stretch dough gently into a 12-inch circle and transfer to the prepared baking sheet. Drizzle with remaining 1 tablespoon oil and spread with sauce, leaving a 1/2-inch border. Season with salt. Spread 1/2 the cheese mixture over the sauce. Top with soppressata and remaining cheese mixture. Bake until cheese is melted and the crust is puffed and brown, 10 to 15 minutes. Remove from oven. Top with arugula, drizzle with honey, and sprinkle with crushed red pepper. Serve immediately. To me. Next, from Better Homes and Gardens, sugar and spice. Our favorite way to upgrade an everyday breakfast bowl involves a sheet pan, fruit sprinkled with sugar, and 10 minutes in the oven. Even fruit not at its peak becomes something special when roasted. So, spiced roasted fruit. Crispy oats on top turn roasted fruit into a breakfast version of a crumble. Hands-on time is 10 minutes. Total time is 20. We need 1/4 to 1/2 cup packed brown sugar, 1/2 teaspoon ground cardamom or cinnamon, 6 cups fresh fruit such as grapes, berries, and or sliced pears, 3 tablespoons butter melted, ricotta cheese, yogurt or oatmeal, optional, crispy oats, optional. Preheat oven to 450. In a small bowl, combine brown sugar and cardamom. Line a 15 by 10 inch sheet pan with parchment paper. Spread fruit evenly in prepared pan. Drizzle with butter and sugar and sprinkle with the sugar mixture. Bake uncovered 10 to 15 minutes or until fruit is soft and starting to brown. Let cool slightly. If desired, serve over ricotta, yogurt, or oatmeal, and top with crispy oats. It makes 4 serving, and here's how to make crispy oats. Combine 1 cup regular or quick cooking oats and 3 tablespoons each, brown sugar, and melted butter. Spread evenly in a baking pan and bake 350 degrees for 15 minutes, stirring once. And then there's also a little aside. Fruit's sweetness varies depending on type and ripeness, so adjust how much sugar you use accordingly. Next, from Good Housekeeping, next level steak and potatoes. I've got rosemary seared New York strip. Active time, 15 minutes. Total time is 20. We need 1 1/2 inch beef strip steak, about 3/4 pound. Kosher salt and pepper, 2 teaspoons olive oil, 4 cloves garlic, not peeled, and 1 sprig fresh rosemary. Heat oven to 425. Heat medium cast iron skillet on medium high. Season the steak with a half teaspoon each salt and pepper. Add oil to the skillet, then add steak, garlic, and rosemary, and cook until steak is browned, about 3 minutes per side. Transfer skillet to the oven and roast until steak is at the desired doneness, 3 to 6 minutes for medium. Transfer the steak to a cutting board and let rest at least 5 minutes before slicing. And to go with, roasted Hasselbeck potatoes with scallion butter. Active time is 10 minutes, total is 50. We need 2 medium yellow potatoes, about 7 ounces each, 1 tablespoon olive oil, flaky sea salt and pepper, 3 tablespoons unsalted butter at room temperature, and 1 scallion finely chopped. Heat oven to 425, make 1/8 to 1/4 inch slits in the potatoes, being sure to stop at least 1/4 inch before going through the bottom. Don't cut all the way through. Gently toss potatoes with oil and 1/2 teaspoon each flaky sea salt and pepper. Transfer to a large rimmed baking sheet, cut sides up. Roast until tender, golden brown, and crisp, 45 to 50 minutes. Meanwhile, in a small bowl, combine butter and scallion. Dollop each potato with scallion butter. And to go with, garlicky sautéed spinach, 15 minutes is total in active time. We need 2 tablespoons olive oil, 2 cloves garlic, very thinly sliced, 1 strip lemon zest, thinly sliced, 1 large bunch of spinach, thick stems removed, kosher salt and pepper. Heat oil, garlic, and lemon zest in large Dutch oven or skillet on medium until garlic is beginning to turn golden brown around the edges, 1 to 2 minutes. Add spinach, season with 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper, and cook, tossing often until spinach begins to wilt, 1 to 2 minutes. Remove from heat and continue to toss until all spinach is just wilted, 1 to 2 minutes more. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latchaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. So long, till next time.